The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? To what can I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that a man took and planted in his garden. When it was fully grown, it became a large bush, and the birds of the sky dwelt in its branches." Again he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch of dough was leavened." The Gospel of the Lord. Our unofficial motto for this year of faith is, "Lord, increase our faith." At the beginning of the Mass today, in the opening prayer, we prayed, "Heavenly Father, increase our faith, hope, and charity." Because if we really have faith, we're living by faith, it's obviously going to overflow in deeds, because real faith works itself out through love, and faith without works is dead. We've had plenty of opportunities over the course of this year of faith to ponder that connection between belief and love. When we really believe in Jesus, then we believe in what he commands us to do. He commands us to love each other just as he has loved us. That we're not just supposed to hear the word of God, but act on it. But we seldom think about hope and the connection between faith and hope. One of the reasons is because so often today, we get by on all the little hopes of life, whether it'll be good weather today, whether I'll feel fine, whether one little thing will happen or not, whether the final episode of CSI will have this ending, whether the Red Sox will go over the top and beat the Cardinals in the World Series. Not that any of those are bad. But a lot of the times we go from expectation of one good meal to the next, one good day to the next. And we're no longer inspired by that great hope for heaven, which is what we're going to be celebrating this Friday. And one of the great signs that many people live without hope is the amount of Catholics even who come to Mass on Sunday who won't come to Mass on All Saints' Day. It's crucially important for us to ponder this connection between faith and hope. Almost 6 years ago now, Pope Benedict wrote a beautiful encyclical, I think his most beautiful of all, called Saved in Hope, specifically to stress this connection between our Christian faith and the hope that should automatically flow. The title of it, Space Salve, Saved in Hope, comes from today's first reading from St. Paul, "For in hope we were saved." Doesn't say "for with hope we were saved," but "in hope we were saved." For us to understand the difference, we got to understand what hope is. A lot of the times when we think about hope, we substitute it with the word optimism. It's just a general expectation that things are going to work out fine, a positive attitude. Hope and optimism are nowhere close to being the same thing. Optimism is a good thing. But as my friend George Weigel says, it's a thing of optics. It's a thing of eyes. It's a way we look at things. No matter how empty the glass is, we'll see that there's at least some water and feel good about it. Again, optimism is a good thing, but it's not hope. Pope Benedict, in that beautiful encyclical, looked at hope from within the perspective of the letter to the Hebrews. And in the letter to the Hebrews, he shows us that throughout the Bible, basically faith and hope are coextensive terms. They basically point to the same thing from a slightly different angle. When we look at the letter to the Hebrews, it says faith is the substance of things we hope for, the guarantee, the proof of things not seen. Faith is the substance of what we hope for. See the connection there. the guarantee of things we have not seen. That hope is basically this. We have a foretaste right now of what we expect later. That we've got a down payment now of what will be paid in full later. So what do we hope for? The great hope of Christians is hope for eternal life, eternal happiness with God and all the saints, including, we pray, our loved ones. Today, right now, we already have a down payment of that hope. If we're seeking eternal life, Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, Father, and the one you have sent. Not know about you, but know you with friendship. Know you the way Adam knew Eve. Know you in a loving interpersonal communion. And that already happens here. When we receive God inside of us, that's why we call the Eucharist, the foretaste of heaven. If we're already seeking a communion of saints in the communion of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's already being tasted here on earth when we live our faith the right way. Live it in a family, live it in a parish, live it in the church as a whole. That there's always that embryonic participation in what's going to come later as an adult. It's the same thing, just as we know with a little acorn. The DNA of an acorn is the same as the tree. There are different stages of growth. But Christian hope means not that we expect something good later, but we already have right now something that will come later. We have only a small part of it, but it's this which is the guarantee that no matter what else is going on, we know what's coming later. Not just expect it. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 136. Whenever I go to preach retreats to nuns, I'm always giving it in a penance when they come to confession. Because a lot of the times there can be struggles in community life, but Psalm 136 recounts all that God had done for the Jews throughout time. And after every phrase of this action by God, it says, for his love endures forever. And then the next action, for his love endures forever. And then another, and another, and another, and another. What is that meant to do? That's meant to say, the same Lord who created the heavens and the earth, the same Lord who saved you through Moses, when you were under slavery in Egypt, the same Lord who won this battle for you, and that battle, and that battle, that battle, he's not dead. And so if you're in exile in Babylon, and you think everything's awful, you remember that the same God who's done all of that is with you. And because of that, you've got real hope that you will be saved. Pope Benedict doesn't define hope in that encyclical, but he defines its photographic negative. He says, to be hopeless is to be without God in the world. And therefore, to be full of hope means that even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of difficulty, you know that God is with you in the world, and because of that precisely, you respond to things totally differently. That's what helps us to understand the readings today, when we understand that real meaning of hope. Jesus talks in the Gospel about the kingdom of God. And how does he compare it? It's like a mustard seed that a man took and planted in his garden. When it was fully grown, it became a large bush so that all the birds of the sky could dwell in its branches. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of hope. The theologians say that the kingdom of God is now and not yet, all at the same time. Jesus will say the kingdom of God is among you now. But then he'll talk about when the kingdom of God comes later. It's both now and not yet, exactly what Christian hope is. That it's a seed right now. Seems very small, but we know in that tiniest of seed contains the entire kingdom, and that the kingdom will eventually flourish. Jesus gives the second parable. yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch of dough was leavened, that one Christian on a block, that a few Christians in a village, that a couple Christians at a workplace or a public school, even though they seem so small compared to the numbers, actually can lift up the whole world. When Jesus sent out 12 garage mechanics from a place the size of the state of Rhode Island to preach the gospel to all nations, you would have thought, no chance. But they already contained within the fullness of the kingdom. And like yeast, they lifted up the entire world. We might think that 50 daily mass goers, compared to a city of 95,000 with a lot of problems, have no chance. But when we really allow God to dwell in us, we can totally transform the city. And we can make it the ours of the 21st century, provided that we are with God in the world and with Him full time. That's what the kingdom is. That's what hope is. That we already recognize that we have got the nuclear power of God within us. And that changes everything. That's what makes us capable of understanding today's first reading from St. Paul, whereas he's using so many images. But once we grasp what hope is, the images start to make sense. I consider that the sufferings of the present time are nothing in comparison with the glory to be revealed for us. Not a future glory, a glory that's already within. Like we see with Jesus at the Transfiguration, he always had that brilliance inside. It was only at the Transfiguration that everybody saw it. In the same way, we are children of God. We already contain the same God within, who will be fully revealed in heaven. And therefore, when God is with us in the world, we're unafraid of anything. In that beautiful encyclical, Pope Benedict talks about the martyrs. And there was one Chinese martyr who was being tortured in an incredible way. Paul Lebin was his name. He wrote a letter that was published afterward, and he described all his tortures, but he said, "But I'm so happy because God is here with me in my prison cell." That's really hope. When we're suffering with a terrible diagnosis, but we know that God is with us, we contain within that hope, and we recognize that the sufferings of the present are nothing compared to the glory that's going to be revealed. He goes on, "For creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God, that we will be fully revealed." All of creation's waiting for it. Creation made by God is waiting for us to become who we really are. Creation was made subject to fertility, not of its own accord, but of the one who subjected it, in the hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. That it's that passage that hope brings us to cross. It's a more important passage than the Braga Bridge going from Somerset to Fall River. That passage in hope, from slavery to corruption and to sin and even to death, which is the greatest physical corruption of all, when our cells decompose. Go from that slavery to corruption, both moral and physical, over to real freedom, and the freedom that comes when we really live as God's children. Then it uses the expression which brings us straight back to the image of the embryo. We contain an embryo now, what will be fully revealed later. He said, "We know that all of creation is groaning in labor pains, even until now. And not only that, but we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, also groan within ourselves as we await for adoption, the redemption of our bodies." That there is suffering involved in that transition. There's always a little bit of pain in hope, because we want it all now, and we can't have it all now. Our hearts are finite. They cannot contain the fullness of the glory of God. And so we long for it and sometimes hurts. But it's the pains of childbirth. And we know what happens after a child is born. The pains are in a sense forgotten because of the joy of the union afterward. That's what hope does. And that's why St. Paul was able to say, "For in hope we were saved." We were saved precisely in living with God in the world. We were saved precisely in recognizing that we have now the seed of the future mustard plant. We have now the embryo of the future adult. We have now the down payment of the future payment in full. And where this all comes together is here at Mass, when we receive within the Creator of the world. We are saved in this hope. Amen.